Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode. We are in the book of Nehemiah. We've called this series of lessons Uncomfortable because we believe that Nehemiah was in a very comfortable, humanly speaking, a very comfortable job, maybe the most comfortable job that any Jew had back in those days. And yet God called him away from that job for a season, at least for a season, to do something uncomfortable, something that was not in his skill set necessarily. We don't know him to be a builder. We don't know him to be a preacher or a general, if you will. And yet, in some respects, he fulfilled all of those roles. So we left last episode, Nehemiah, just praying and saying, God, we're sorry. I feel as if I'm to blame. I feel as if my family could have done better. And Hannah, we talked a little bit about the sins of omission. And what it means sometimes to, you know, we think of sin generally as bad things we do, but how often in life are we sinning by just not doing the things that we know to do that are right? Mm-hmm. You know, God didn't save us not to do things; He saved us to accomplish things in His will. That's why the Bible says in James 4. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And that was not the case with Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, okay, I'm taking responsibility. I'm praying about this. Remember, his prayer was emotional, weeping and mourning and fasting. But then his prayer was also intentional because he said, and Lord, give me grace, give me wisdom, because I'm going to go and appear before the king. There was already in the mind of Nehemiah this bias for action, and I love that. It wasn't just an insincere prayer. An insincere prayer is one that's a prayer of well-wishing, but it was a prayer that said, I'm willing to be used of God to do something about this. So let's fast forward. We're in chapter 2 now. We looked at the month Kislev last chapter. I think a couple episodes we introduced the fact that it was the month Kislev in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. Now we go to the month Nisan, which is, in the Jewish calendar, that would be like our March, April. So right. We're talking about a
four-month time span has gone by.
A four-month time span. So think about that. You know, God gave him a burden. He's prayed about it. He already has a mindset to want to do something about it. And yet 4 months have gone by when he's carrying this burden. Now, I wonder why. Why does God sometimes, and I'm just throwing this out for conjecture, Hannah, but why does God sometimes seem to wait? I mean, if Nehemiah he was willing to go, if the people are in affliction as he had heard, then why the delay?
That's a good question.
Do you think in part it could be that sometimes the delays that God allows in our life cause us to have a more refined burden? And sometimes to give it more thought and planning on our end. It's not that delays are a waste of time. I think a delay should be an investment of time. Because what we're going to find in chapter 2 is that Nehemiah had given this some long, hard thought.
Right. He was ready for an answer when the king asked him, you know, what is your request? And he gave it to him.
He outlined
it. If it pleases the king, this. I mean, it was obvious that he had been praying about it.
He had been praying about it. He had been thinking about it. I mean, you have to think through the logistics of it, the resources, the time frame, just all of that. I mean, that's an amazing thing. So we're at surface glance, it might appear to have been a delay. Really, God was giving Nehemiah time to think through and act upon what he was placing in his heart. And I guess what I would say to our listeners is, if God is calling you to go, then he's equally calling you to prepare. You know, over the course of my ministry life, I've dealt with a lot of young people that feel as if God wants them to go into some aspect of ministry work. And I always say the same thing to them. And that is, well, if God wants you to do this down the road, then the road from now until there needs to be the road of preparation. Don't just assume that magically you're going to be equipped to do what you're called to do without the time, the preparation, the thought, the prayer that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And that's Nehemiah right here in chapter 2. So it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, so about 4 months, as you said, Hannah, about 4 months from the time when he heard the news, that wine was before him. I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. So he's a cupbearer. He's doing his job. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. That is an amazing statement. Can you honestly say, Hannah, that there's somebody that you've worked with day by day that you've always been able to keep your emotions in check? You've never been sad in front of them?
I don't know if I could say that.
I don't know that I could say that, like, even for a whole day.
Right.
I mean, and understand that that was part of his job. So mm-hmm. it would be
keeping up appearance and
absolutely. And it was your job as a liaison of the king in whatever capacity you served to make sure that your attitude was always in check. We could learn a little bit more about that too. Right. But it's just that fact, the fact that he had always been able to check his emotions, always had been able to be a professional. It was that fact that brought attention to the king. So the one day that he just couldn't hide it, the burden had developed so much that he could no longer, he thought he was hiding it, but the king picked up on it. And I wonder, have I been so diligent in guarding my emotions that if I had an off day, people would realize it? Because I think for most people, you know, mood swings and getting angry or getting frustrated or being mopey is just kind of par for the course. But Nehemiah had the kind of character that when he was sad, that itself was a giveaway to the king. And it's interesting because the king said, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid." So the king picked up on it. He had some good intuition, but Nehemiah was scared to death because this would be an unprofessional thing to do, that you're now showing your emotions in front of the king. You could be fired for this. You could be executed for this. So Nehemiah is justifiably afraid. And he said unto the king, let the king, I got to turn my page here, let the king live forever, which is probably a good thing to say if you're afraid about what the king's going to do. Hey, king, you are the man. You know, a little kiss up here, maybe. Yep. Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Again, he wasn't feeling warm and fuzzy about a wall necessarily, but why shouldn't I be filled with this kind of anxiety, this kind of sadness, when people I love, the country that I love, is in such dire such dire circumstances, a dire situation. So he puts it back to the king to say, I have good reason. I have good reason to feel this way. And then verse 4, the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So it's an interesting follow-up, Hannah. So why are you so sad? Why shouldn't I be sad? You know, my people are really in bad shape. And then the king is like, okay, well, then what do you want me to do about it?
He had great respect for Nehemiah.
That's the first thing I thought, great respect. So what if somebody with all the resources of the world available to him said to you, hey, what do you want me to do to help? So it tells me something about the relationship, the testimony of Nehemiah, but also it tells me a lot about Nehemiah and his response, because think about this, Hannah. Could Nehemiah have just said, well, you know, King, could you send a construction crew? Could you make this one of the kingdom projects? Could you get some of your people on this? But that wasn't Nehemiah's answer. Matter of fact, Nehemiah didn't even give a knee-jerk answer. I love the little, it's almost a parenthetical in verse 4. And listeners, maybe some of you have seen this before, but it's one of my favorite little sections in Nehemiah. It says, the king said, what do you want? For what dost thou make request? And then the Bible says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So it's interesting. Nehemiah speaking in the first person here, he said, so the king said, what do you want? And Nehemiah said, I prayed immediately. Now, what do you think? Do you think Nehemiah said, okay, king, that's a good question. So let me go over here and kneel down and have a long, you know, important prayer. No, I think he prayed the way many of you and I pray, in a knee-jerk way, to say, oh, Lord, help me here. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, I need a help. Lord, help me to give the right words. God, give me some discernment in the moment. It just demonstrated that Nehemiah had a great
His priorities are right.
His priorities are right. And he had a great ongoing dialogue with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I guess
it was natural for him to consult the Lord.
I wonder, is it natural for me to consult the Lord? Is it when I come to situations in my day where I'm given a choice that has great importance like this, or I have to make a decision that is monumental like this, is my knee-jerk response, I want to know what God thinks. I want to know what God thinks. I want to seek wisdom. And the Bible tells us if we lack wisdom, and the better way to say that is because we lack wisdom, you know, we ought to ask of God. He's willing to give us his perspective, right. But we must ask for it.
And he's waiting. He's waiting for it. I mean, I just had this happen to me recently. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was a prayer request, something I've been praying for, and I was just, it was answered and in the way I wanted, so it was easy to, you know, celebrate. But I was all excited and telling people, and then it almost like slapped me in the face, like, oh yeah, I haven't thanked God.
Oh yeah, should I pray?
Maybe
should
that's
I talk
a good
to God?
Thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there, done that. It's a shame that we don't practice the presence of God. But Nehemiah is practicing the presence of God in his life. What a tremendous example. Let's quickly get this little section here in for today. So he prayed, and then he said to the king. So here's his answer. If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. So think about it. He said, okay, if you would be so kind, and if I've done a good job, if I've been a good servant, would you allow me to go personally? I wonder if my request to my employer were based solely upon my past work ethic, you know, would I get what I'm asking for? Because that's what Nehemiah said, Lord, you know, if the importance of just working hard and being a good employee, which he was. Well, then, and I won't take time to read all of this, but in verses 6 through 11, what's interesting is then Nehemiah, as you said at the beginning of the episode, he tells the king, okay, so I need letters of endorsement, I need these supplies, I need this passport, if you will. He just had all the logistics already figured out.
Yep. He had done all of his research. I mean, all the legalities of everything.
Down to the governors beyond the river, letters from the king. The king sent captains of the army and horsemen. He had a military entourage. It just, there's a whole lot more to it than just, hey, you know, let's just wing it, or hey, just pray about it. I'm not downplaying prayer, but prayer did not exempt Nehemiah from also planning. Praying, planning, trusting, going, all of it was part of the process that led Nehemiah from Shushan the palace, comfortable, to broken down Jerusalem, uncomfortable.
We often undermine the planning process that is included in the faith process, so that was good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to see how the story unfolds. Thank you guys for joining us again today, and we look forward to the next episode. God bless you guys.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.